In the first hour of this here fine radio show, I've got Marina Brown. She's an accomplished author, journalist, a ballet dancer, artist. All of these things that she's done with her life, it'll inspire you. She'll be with me here talking about her celebrated career. I've got Brian DeLoge in the house. He'll be with me in the second hour talking about county and city government. So stay with me. We got a lot coming up.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax. And it's done.
So, what are you going to do?
I don't know. My insurance company is telling me to take it to this one shop, but I don't know if that's the best thing to do.
It's your choice. It's not up to them. Have you told Jerry?
No, he loves that car. I wanted to take it to someone who would make it perfect, just the way it was, you know?
Yeah, well, you know Dan Hendrickson, right?
Dan Hendrickson.
The guy we met at that chamber thingy we went to, remember? He owns Capital City Collision Center. He was talking about the whole Gain Street thing, because he's down there by the stadium on Lake Bradford Road.
And you think they do good work?
You don't remember? Bobby's Jeep got rear-ended coming home from school.
Oh, that's right.
We had Dan fix it. It was great. And they're great to work with. And the guy in the paint shop is really cute.
Capital City did that.
Yep. I've got his card here somewhere. Here.
Okay. Capital City Collision Center.
Online at CapitalCityCollisionInc.com or call 575-9202. Happy New Year, my friend. We are here together again on this fine occasion when it's our pleasure to bring you the people and topics of late that have everybody talking, particularly county government. So I've got Brian DeLoge with us in the second hour. He'll talk about all the things that have been going on with city and county. You know, he's been around a while, Commissioner of District 4 over there, on the northeast side of town. I think he's been a commissioner since he was like a little kid. It seems like he's just been there forever. But he's been one of the more, productive, in my opinion, and probably more involved in a lot of ways. Certainly having accomplished for himself several things along the way, including his position as president of the National Association of County Commissioners, I guess it is, or county government or something. He'll tell us about that. And as always with Commissioner DeLoge, it's a challenge to find a moment in his schedule because, you know, he's fond of traveling about, and whether he's scaling the heights of some mountain in Southeast Asia or maybe he's skiing somewhere. I mean, the guy is a serious outdoorsman, has been that way, I think, from his youth. So we're going to tackle some of the topics O'Day, particularly the question as it comes up, it seems often, at least once a year, the business of consolidating county and city government. Get his take on that. And we'll look around town to see, you know, what kind of projects the county's involved in and how money is being spent, perhaps misspent from certain points of view. And, of course, I'd be very interested in knowing his take on FBI investigations regarding CRA monies and certain players that were involved in the last couple of years with all of that. Let's see if we can get him to talk about it. And what's up ahead, too? I mean, where are we going with leadership here? Because as of this week, we don't have a city manager anymore. We're going to replace Rick Fernandez, who then resigned his position after a great deal of controversy involving his behavior over there at the city. So, you know, I mean, it's not particularly unusual. That matter the size of the town, that you have you know, people who do good things, people do not so good things. They do the right thing or the wrong thing. I'd say in the majority, it's fortunate for us that most of the people over the years, at least that I've been acquainted with, who have served the public in these elected positions, done a fairly decent job, and have behaved, you know, they've behaved according to the rules, maintained a rather, I'd say, a reasonable standard of ethical behavior. So that's good, right? And when you look around town and you see the amount of expansion, the development of the community, I mean, if that translates into good things, that's a matter of opinion, I suppose. Land usage around this part of the world, always big issue, because, you know, we certainly don't want to cut down any trees if that were the question at hand. But for those who are dismayed by such activity, it's going on. And if you didn't catch this earlier in the week, Tamarin Waters did a fairly thorough, I think, listing of all of those projects around that have either recently broken ground or are about to, or are underway. This theater, movie theater over here on the east side of town is about halfway through. It's going to be a sizable contribution. Give us another place to sit and be air conditioned during the summertime. So that's what's going on. This here fine radio show, as we call it, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. I've got the opportunity as well to talk with Marina Brown, an accomplished author and artist, and several careers that she has been involved in as a dancer. I mean, the likes of ballet performance. Prior life, she was a hospice nurse for many years, resides now in Tallahassee, writes frequently for the Tallahassee Democrat, and delighted to have her with us today as a guest in the first hour. We'll talk with her about her rather storied career. I mean, just multiple numbers of ways in which she's looked for creative expression and has done well. She's been recognized by several organizations for her writing and awarded several times. So we'll talk with her about her most recent book. Let's see, what else have I got here for you? News of the day has to do with a favorite topic around here, particularly waste and electronics collection. So it's important. Hazardous waste management is a big deal. And faithfully, speaking of county government, they are reminding us that today, this is your day, from 9 to 1. So, you know, right now, if you're listening to the show, you should be on your way over to the Public Works Operations Center on Miccosukee Road. Perfect way to bring in the new year. Get rid of the old, outdated electronics and hazardous household waste. Yes, all of that. So Leon County Solid Waste Management Division is doing this monthly household waste and electronics collection thing. That's today from 9 to 1. It's on Miccosukee Road at 2280, the Public Works Operations Center. So there you go. And if you don't have any waste or electronics, you could just go over there and watch. Right, Carl? I mean, this is a good way to spend a day, or at least a morning. Just seeing them load all this stuff and hang out with the guys that are loading this into the dumpsters and stuff. They're good people. Hey, man, maybe you've got better things to do, but then again, I'll be here. I'll be doing this. The 13th annual Daddy-Daughter Dance is coming up. Always happy to hear about this. January 27th, that's a Saturday. It's at the Moon, so you might get your tickets now. And they've split it up a couple of different ways. You can do a tea dance from 5 to 7. Or you can do the, That's if you buy your tickets in advance. Or you can do the traditional, not sure the difference between tea and traditional dance, but anyway, the traditional dance goes 7 to 9:30, probably for older daughters, I guess. Maybe the tea dance is for the younger set. Yes, it says here, for daughters 12 and under. See, if I just read this thing, it'd be fine. Okay, you got that? So that's at the Moon. Two dances on one night, the tea dance and traditional daddy-daughter dance, the 27th of this month. There you go. We're going to continue with more of this. I hope you will, too. And we'll enjoy getting to know this lovely person who has agreed to join us. Marina Brown is up next. You stay with me.
Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Widen Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Widen Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Widen's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Widen is known for taking care of business. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Changing the face of talk radio in Tallahassee. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Time now for Tallahassee Business Spotlight, brought to you by Tiffany Hamilton.
Hello there. It's Miriam Dady with Tallahassee Business Spotlight. Happy New Year. I don't know about you, but I've kind of got that January tire around my midsection and tired of sitting around watching TV and drinking eggnog. So I invited a friend to come and talk with all of us today. I have Dr. Isaac Montilla of Verity Health. Dr. Montilla, thank you for being here today.
Miriam, thank you for having me. I'm excited.
I am excited because what you got, I want.
Awesome.
Tell us something about Verity and what sets you apart in chiropractic and all kinds of healthcare.
Yeah, so Verity, Verity really exists to help just different generations live to their God-given potential. Oftentimes, we find ourselves, or what I realize in our community is that so many people find themselves in a rut where they're doing the same thing over and over and over and then hoping for different results. And we all know the definition of that oftentimes is insanity.
Right.
So what we're trying to do is just provide hope from a whole body approach. And so at Verity Health Center, we're all about figuring out what's the cause of your problems, you know, that really could manifest as a physical ailment.
Yeah.
But oftentimes the very first step, the first thing that we try to encourage our community with is changing your mindset. How do we get your mind to change so that you can become proactive versus reactive? So
I like it.
We love our community. We love what we get to do every single day.
You know, something I like, we've known each other for years.
Yeah, you were actually one of the first people we've met when we came to Tallahassee.
Well, I have a little confession to make. I have in the past been a bit of a snob or a little suspicious of chiropractic care. And when I met you and I really saw your vision that it's a holistic approach, it's your mental attitude, your hydration, your physical activity, what goes into your body and your diet, all of those things, it really clicked for me. And I love that about the way you approach healthcare, and I think it's really valid.
Well, I appreciate that. And really, so the way I sum it up is really the three principles is the areas that we really focus on is the mental aspect, right? How do you adapt to your environment? Like, how well are you mentally able to adapt to your environment? Because the inability of your body able to adapt either mentally or physically causes your body to break down. So either mind, again, physical, you can just fill in the blank there. So that's one. Two is, you know, what goes in your body, like you mentioned, you know, chemical, if you're putting in your body junk in, junk out.
Right.
Right. We've all heard that famous saying. But in reality, oftentimes, I think America as a whole has gone off in the wilderness and has lost the way back home. So we really focus on how do we get you back to the basics. And really the other one is moving, right? Movement.
Yes.
How making sure that you're moving.
Mm-hmm.
We are all designed to move. The day that you stop moving is the day that you rapidly degenerate.
Yeah.
Right. And so we're designed. Our body is designed to move. Is the saying, right? Sitting is the new smoking, right? In regards to the history that it has.
Yeah.
It's been detrimental in all aspects, from children all the way to adults.
Right. And so much of the pharmaceutical community, the focus is how do we just make people stop feeling the pain of their ill health?
Yeah.
Not how do we get them healthy?
Yeah.
How do we put a Band-Aid on this corpse, you know?
No, you're absolutely right. And it's you know, it's kind of like a patient coming in and, you know, because they step on a tack, right? And the tack is attached to their foot and they're asking a doctor for pain relief, right? So it's like, well, you can try to numb the pain, but the problem's still going to be there. And that's the, that's the thing about health. And one of the beauties about the turnaround that a lot of people don't realize is that you have a better chance of avoiding sickness and disease than you actually do of getting it. And a lot of people are not aware of that. A lot of people think that because heart disease, because cancer runs in my family, because, again, you can fill in the blank, therefore I'm going to have it. Or yes, you might be a little bit more susceptible to, but research shows that up to 90% of diseases are prevented through proper lifestyle. And this is medical journals that are out there. These are really Ivy League schools that put out research, Harvard. Mm-hmm. I mean, you name it. It's all coming out more and more and more that you can, if you and whoever's listening right now, you have the opportunity to avoid sickness and disease by the decisions that you make within your lifestyle.
Where are you located, number one? And what have you got coming up on your radar that people can participate in?
Yeah, so where are we? We have two locations in Tallahassee. We have one in Midtown off of Thomasville Road where Gadsden, if you're going north on Gadsden and Thomasville come together.
Right.
And then we have one north in the Bannerman, Thomasville shopping area.
Yep.
It's a beautiful location. If you haven't been out there, you go should check it out. There's all this family fun stuff, activities to do up there as well. And so as your question prior to that as well, in terms of the new year, you know, Miriam, one of the biggest goals in our country every year, right? It's the top two goals in our country is time management, right? And weight loss, getting healthy. Those are the two that, and usually they could fluctuate one and two back and forth, right?
Right.
And what I always tell people is, you know, the holidays can take a toll on us, right? But making change, and it goes back to what I said earlier. The first step is move. Literally, first step, pun intended there, is move. Take
get
that first step.
Get off the couch.
Yes, get off the couch. If you have, I'm sure a lot of, everyone out there should, or a majority of people out there should have access to a smartphone that you can download an app. There's a really cool app called, I believe it's called Couch to 5K. And what it does, it takes you one step at a time to really get you out there and start moving.
How about it?
And so if you're interested and you want a challenge, at the end of the month, we're actually going to have our first annual Family 5K at the North location that will have a 5K course, or 5K. And then
starting
we'll,
at Bannerman Crossing.
That's right. Starting at Bannerman Crossing. And what's neat about this, too, is we're going to have a 1K for kids.
Nice.
So if you're all about family or you want to bring your kids out there and see them run around, is a great chance to do it. So I recommend go out there, start moving is the first thing I always tell people. Get out there right now. Vitamin D. Get some vitamin D back in. You know, be exposed to sunlight right now because of this weather that's been going out.
Yeah.
Two is stay hydrated.
Yeah.
Stay hydrated.
Right.
Right. It's important that you drink water. Three is the third one. This one's a hard one. This is a hard one for all my patients that come in and want to change your lifestyle. Reduce how much processed carbs you consume.
Yeah, there
AKA
you go.
AKA sugars, right? That nasty sugar. Research shows that sugar is as addictive as a lot of these illegal drugs.
Whoa.
Right? Like cocaine, believe it or not. There's research that shows that your body becomes really addictive to sugar. So it's not easy.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, you heard it here. you might not be on cocaine. You're probably on sugar cane right now.
That's right. That's right. I love it.
And Dr. Montilla is laying down the gauntlet. When is the 5K?
The 5K is at that first weekend of January.
Okay.
End of January. I apologize.
Like the 27th,
yes.
I think.
Yes.
Okay. The 27th of January, you've got between now and the 20th or so to register.
Yeah, you can go to veritihealthcenter.com.
Good.
Again, veritihealthcenter.com, and you can look up all the information there, or you can just find us on Facebook, Verity Health Center, V-E-R-I-T-Y Health Center, and all of our information is right on there, and we're really engaged with our community as well.
Okay, Tallahassee, it's time to get healthy. You heard it right here. Come out on January 27th to Bannerman Crossing. You can meet Dr. Montilla there, and we can run around the block. We don't even have to keep up with the leaders out there. So everybody do that. And once again, this is Miriam Dady with Tallahassee Business Spotlight.
More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Marina Brown was born in Indianapolis. She has written for newspapers and magazines for the last 20 years, plus a couple more because I'm reading from some older copy here. But St. Petersburg Times, Tallahassee Democrat, Florida Design, Dance Magazine, Tallahassee Magazine, and Sailing Magazine, all among them. She is the recipient of numerous writing awards, including first places in the Porter Fleming Short Story Contest, second place in the Lorian Hemingway Contest for Short Stories, first place in the Red Hills Poetry Contest, and the 2013 Florida Authors and Publishers Gold Medal Award in Adult Fiction for her debut novel, Land Without Mirrors. She is our guest this morning, and welcome.
Hi, how are you?
A pleasure to have you with us, Marina Brown. And I'm reading this from your latest, Lisbeth, a novel that won the President's Book Awards for Florida, the award granted by the Authors and Publishers Association. That's got to be a pretty lofty sort of feeling when you realize, because these folks are tough, right? I mean, they're judging you against everybody else out there. Had to feel pretty good, huh?
Well, it's nice. It's gratifying.
You're being so humble here. Well, true to your reputation, and I usually don't dig too deeply with any of the folks who are kind enough to share their time with us here, but I happen to have it on good authority that you're known for being rather modest about your talents and your life experiences. So I'm not going to embarrass you any further. But you write here in the acknowledgments for Lisbeth something I thought was rather provocative. The past is never far, especially in the South. Mm-hmm. Its mysteries have fascinated me since I sped past enclaves of old slave cabins from Mississippi to Florida and peeked through the piney forests of my youth. That's a rather interesting statement. Tell us about those piney forests.
Well, really that particular sentence is a memory I have with being in the back seat of the car, of my parents' car, when they came down from Indiana on a vacation. And seeing all these little cabins in the forest, in the pine woods, and, you know, wondering what these little houses were. And my parents, you know, explaining that probably, she said slaves, I think they were tenant farmers at that point, would have been living there fairly recently. And actually, because I'm not that young, seeing people in the fields picking the cotton. So that, you know, that's one of those little tableaus,
one of those images
that stays with you and that you can kind of call back up when you need it.
Yeah. Well, and then you go on to say, my efforts at bringing that past alive have been inspired and helped by many. Some provided the coloration of their dialect, some the way they wrinkled their nose or used their hands, others both real and evoked, shared with me their quests, and still others whom I never met left me in admiration of their sense of justice and good. When we think of the Old South, justice is not one of those ideas that come to mind immediately when we think of race relations and civil rights and all of that that transpired over, you know, several decades.
Yeah, and that this book actually deals a lot with that, and you know, I think the justice for many of the people in this book and along the way, the older African-American people that I met, they are astoundingly forgiving in many cases to the things that happened and managed, I think, to find a certain kind of forgiveness and justness maybe from on high. Where they could absorb that and continue on.
That's characteristic, isn't it, of the African American community, that in the face of the oppressive life that they were given, the whole 200 or 300 years of slavery that they endured as a people, drove them deeper in their faith, and it became a sort of means by which they could try to hold family and culture together.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. You know, even more recently, I had been a member of a ballet company. That was my first job. I was with Ballet Russe de Monte Carlo. Huh. And in the company, in the late, I guess I would say early 60s even, when the company would be on tour, we'd start in New York, we'd go across the country, and then swing through the southern route. In the south, when we came this way, there was one African-American dancer who's subsequently become kind of famous, Raven Wilkinson.
Oh, yes.
She's older now, but she was our one beautiful dancer. But she couldn't tour with us. She had to go back to New York because African Americans were not allowed on the stage with white people at that time.
Yeah.
And I remember one time, might have even been in Mississippi, where the police entered the back of the theater, house lights came up and everything stopped, and she was asked to leave the stage. It was pretty bad even, you know, in what we consider more modern times.
So then, as an author, when you're writing Lisbeth and you're bringing to us these observations, they are not secondhand.
Yeah, some of them certainly have
entirely,
the sentiments of what was going on at that time.
You witness firsthand in many cases then those circumstances.
Yeah. Huh? And having developed friendships with, you know, white people as well who lived through that. Mm-hmm. So I also do paint, and it turns out that a lot of my paintings have to do with African-American life. And I, not on purpose in a way, but just because, the colors, the vibrancy of that whole part of America is very beautiful.
I noticed that in this other book that you've entitled Airport Sketches. So you reveal there for us, folks, this book titled Airport Sketches, the subtext, A Week of Lives at the Tallahassee Regional Airport.
It's right before they changed the name.
So, they became international. So here you are giving us these views then of folks that are traveling at the airport, and this book is full of those sketches, and many of the people that you've sketched themselves are African American. So clearly there's a kind of connection there for you, I guess, huh?
I'm not sure why, but yes, yeah, so this book had not only people who were in transit at the airport, but the people who worked behind the scenes, who, you know, cleaned the facilities, and pilots. It was a bit of everybody at the airport.
Well, and what a tribute then to Tallahassee as such, in as much as, you know, the perhaps one of the least likely places that we would think of, you know.
And yet fragments
at the
of
airport.
Life are just, you know, dancing right there in front of you. The
Isn't
things
that
you
something?
See in the stories, one, an elderly man who was on his way to meet an elderly woman he'd met on Match.com. And, you know, someone else who was sending their mother, who was ill, back to Pakistan. And, you know, just all kinds of lives you wouldn't expect to run into.
Remarkable. Talking with Marina Brown, local author, celebrated award-winning author, several books to her credit, contributing to the likes of Tallahassee Democrat, Tallahassee Magazine. We're going to continue our conversation with her in just a moment. I would remind you, too, my friend, that if you have missed any of the episodes of this here fine radio show, we're available to you online anytime. If you go to TallahasseeTalks.com, all of the shows are archived there for you. You can subscribe to the podcast, and thereby you are automatically updated from week to week as we continue this fine tradition of bringing to you the very best that Tallahassee has to offer. We like to think it's what Tallahassee is talking about mostly this week. And so I will continue my efforts through this coming year and hope that you'll stay with us. We're now about to begin our seventh season, and doing so with great gratefulness and with an anticipation of even greater stories up ahead. If you have a suggestion for us, an idea you'd like us to consider, a topic, a guest, you can email us at topics@TallahasseeTalks.com.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Truck and Car Concepts, people with their cars, we're number one by far. Better liners, bed caps, toys to throw your money at. Car stereos, car alarms, things for all you soccer moms. Detail and diamond plate, parts to fix your tailgate. Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Truck and Car Concepts, people with their cars, we're number one by far. Exterior accessories, gift kits for your mud needs. Mud tires, nice wheels, everyone will get a deal. Window tinting, that's a must, come on out and visit us. Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop, we always aim to please. Truck and Car Concepts, everything is here from A to Z.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So we're back and we're talking with author Marina Brown, who, interestingly enough, has this remarkable diversity in her background. She spent something like, 13, 14 years as a hospice nurse. I was looking for some of your credits here. And then has, in the process, authored several books. We mentioned a couple of them, Lisbeth and Airport Sketches, the setting for that being our own Tallahassee Airport. And at the same time, an accomplished artist who, in all of the paintings she has done, one of them displayed beautifully on the cover of her recent book, Lisbeth. You have a show of your work going on, or a couple of shows coming up.
Yeah, well, this past year, it just came down at the Meek Eaton from the Black Archives.
Ah, yes.
Union Bank Building.
Yes.
Had a one-man show, which was really wonderful, sponsored by FAMU.
Nice.
And so this coming year, there'll be a one-man show up in Gadsden at the Gadsden Museum.
Yes.
And actually at the airport gallery, starting in July through September, I'll have a one-man show there.
Wonderful.
And they'll mostly be of dancers, since I was a dancer.
You were a dancer, and as I pointed out, a hospice nurse. Here it is, 14 years in St. Petersburg, then pursued your career in journalism and working with various publications. Your work as an author and visual artist, all of that going on. How does one person encompass all of that? I mean, do you do it all at the same time, or have you tried to do these things sequentially? And I mean, what's up ahead? What's next? Right? Space no. exploration? I don't know.
No, I think like we had talked about earlier, if you, as a little kid, you know, if you realize you've been given some gifts, then, you know, what do you do with them? It's like you have this responsibility to nourish them, to grow them,
yeah.
and develop them. and tend like a garden, tend to them. So you have to kind of keep at them. So, you know, writing, I've always written stories and poetry, and finally I thought it was time to do a novel. And then once you start, you kind of, you see other things that are interesting. Drawing, I've always done it. And so, you know, you kind of work that in and paint more and more. And
so it's being sensitive to your own inclinations, we'd
say. Exactly.
And giving them the light of day, giving them opportunity. Right?
And as you grow older, you know, as a dancer, you can't sort of dance forever, but you could learn to play music. And so when I was 45, I didn't know how to read music. I began to study the cello and, you know, subsequently was able to play with the Tampa Bay Symphony and Big Ben Orchestra here.
Right.
And so it's just kind of prioritizing and scheduling as you age. You know, you can always write, hopefully, and paint as, you know, you can't dance, and but one can dance, one can... you know, learn other forms.
But in any case, the works that you've done have been quite well noted publicly. And you've mentioned you're performing now with Big Band
Community
Orchestra. What's up? Their schedule is upcoming, I guess.
Starting the new season.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a wonderful orchestra. It's small and open to many people. You don't have to be, you know, a Juilliard grad. And so it's... yeah, very welcoming.
It's not like you're looking for another day job. Right. We get that.
That's true.
But I am always curious with those who have extra market experience. You've been out and around the world. As you look into Tallahassee's, we'll call it loosely, artistic community, what's your thought? Are we... need of repair, or are we doing well? I mean,
fantastically. You know, I mean, there are just so many opportunities here. From you know, like with the actual Tallahassee Symphony, being able to go to watch dress rehearsals there, and all kinds of artistic outlets for people to the senior center of all places. But you know, it's open to a lot of people who have this artistic urge that they haven't been able to do anything with during their working life, and now they're retired. I mean, they're just It's a wonderful place to be.
Just thinking in terms of your authorship, and it harkens this thought, the Tallahassee, I guess it's a there's several, but I think it's the Tallahassee Writers Club or whatever.
Writers Association.
Did you get involved in something like that initially?
Absolutely. Help? And it helped a lot because, you know, I didn't know the structure of a novel. I mean, you know, one can read books on it, but I joined the Tallahassee Writers Association, got with a critique group of three other women who read these, Land Without Mirrors, which was my first one, as it came along. I mean, I didn't really understand what POV meant, point of view, you know, who is speaking, whose thoughts you're reading about, and that you can't kind of just merge eight people at once. And so it really helped me in the beginning.
Interesting.
It really did.
Interesting. We have, for our own purposes, a number of organizations that bring to us talent from the outside world. I'm thinking of the Artist Series, opening nights, and certainly formidable in that capacity. But some of those that are a little closer to home, like TSO, Tallahassee Community Chorus, this is really us from that standpoint, performing at a level that is world class, from what I can tell.
You're right. And, you know, right in front of the Democrat, I've had the opportunity to interview Darko and the head of the community chorus.
Andre Thomas.
You know, a lot of these people, and it is, you know, it's fabulous. They're world renowned. Yeah. I just there'll be a piece in, I think, this weekend on Sandy Proctor, sculptor, who actually just contributed a beautiful sculpture of Nureyev, the dancer, Russian dancer, to the university.
Wow.
So, I mean, we're surrounded by...
Well, and this is how you and I met. I mean, I've read your material for a long time, and I think all of us have followed you in the newspaper because you've done such a good job of helping us stay closer to people like Sandy Proctor. And this recent article you did about Misha, yes, I thought was particularly curious. And then we had the opportunity to bring him to us before Christmas. What a delightful soul he is.
Absolutely.
And again, another worldwide traveled, multicultural individual,
exactly,
who volunteers his time to help these students there at FSU's Flying High Circus.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah, well, with your magazine, where you get to essentially do features pieces, and my writing at the Democrat, where I get to do features, it's wonderful. It's just like having a party.
Well, that's what we're all about here. Welcome to the party, pal. We're having a good time with Marina Brown, this accomplished author and artist in so many different capacities, along with her background as a hospice nurse for those many years, ballet, all of it. An inspiring individual, I would say.
Oh,
someone
good.
Who we should emulate your efforts in whatever creative path we may find ourselves. We should be as prolific, I would think.
That is right.
In the way you've approached life. Thank you for being our guest.
You're so welcome.
What a pleasure.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Yes, yes. And perhaps we can have you back at another time. You can update us on your next novel, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, or your next showing. Yeah, okay.
Right.
Marina Brown, our good friend and our guest this morning, folks. You stay with me. I've got more coming up after the top of the hour. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
In 1788, Robert Burns wrote a poem to herald the coming of the new year and set the lyrics to an old Scottish tune. The little song became quite popular among the Scots and the British as the words recalled the days gone by, bidding farewell to the old and welcoming the new. Band leader Guy Lombardo is often credited with popularizing the use of the song at New Year's celebrations in America. Through his annual broadcasts on radio and television, beginning in 1929, the song became his trademark. This New Year's Eve, millions will gather across the world in celebration, and at the stroke of midnight, join together in singing Auld Lang Syne. Here's wishing you all the best and brightest in the new year from Tiffany Hamilton, broker of Eck and Hamilton Realty. Call 850-366-8433 or online at tiffanyhamilton.com. And Wit and Glass on South Monroe. Call 222-5781, online at witandglass.com. And Dr. Scott Pliskin at Mahan Animal Clinic. Call 402-0557.
The most talked about topics in town. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Welcome back to the second hour of this here fine radio show, Tallahassee Talks, bringing you all the topics of the town everybody's talking about, especially county government and city government. It's hot in the news with all that's going on, FBI investigations. Not the least of our activity of late that has sort of piqued our interest, and we're waiting for some news to come of this. Meanwhile, Rick Fernandez has resigned as city manager over some other business of his having to do with an ethics charge, I guess, or concern about his behavior regarding having received some football tickets, something of that sort. A lot of scrutiny going on. Of course, it's the tide, I think. It may not be fair to say this, but it seems that it tends to go in a kind of cycle. And when I say the tide, I mean, nationally, we've been waiting for the next scandalous announcement, right, to hit the news and find out who it is that is now being defrocked over some misbehavior. The hits just keep on a coming. And that seemed to have quieted a bit now. I don't know. Well, shouldn't say too much. But in any case, the reactions have been rather peculiar to me. I mean, when you have, let's talk locally, when you have several who are close to the action when it comes to county city government, particularly city commissioners, under investigation, the newspaper has done its part in trying to bring that to our attention, and I think they've done so rather well. And at the same time, it hasn't seemed to be of greater concern than you would expect of the day-to-day business of county. In other words, my take is a lot of people are just sort of disenfranchised in the whole thing. They don't, I mean, so they're not as moved by news of this kind of thing. Many people I've talked to individually, and of course this is anecdotal, but they don't even know what CRA stands for, let alone what it actually does, why it is, what its intended purpose is, and any one of these that exist all around the country. The CRA idea to try to help local communities redevelop, right? The community redevelopment agency, I guess. And that effort, having been pointed at places in our town, like Frenchtown, there is a Frenchtown CRA, and then there's the downtown CRA. Basically, it's a way of allocating funds that are provided at a federal level for such development, or in this case, redevelopment, revitalization, we might say. And how are those monies awarded? You know, how are those decisions made in which people's particular vested interests are benefited because they're the developer, maybe they're the landowner, or maybe they're some kind of stakeholder in the process. And if they are so inclined, they may be interested in providing certain favors to those in decision-making positions, right? Kind of the way corruption, graft, you know, kind of how that works. I remember talking to Dominic Calabro some time ago. Dominic heads up Tax Watch, if you don't know that. And his observation, which I found rather startling, I guess, or surprising at the time, is that there wasn't a county in Florida where you didn't find examples of such unscrupulous behavior. In fact, he said Leon County, as it goes, is probably among the lesser, you know, the least offensive, and he named a few that were, in his words, famous for trading in that kind of what in that manner, where if you want something done, there's somebody on the other end of that decision-making process with his hand out, looking for you to, you know, grease the skids. So it apparently is it's made its way here, and there are certain members of our community who have taken it upon themselves, I think, to advance this cause more strongly and try to bring awareness. But as I say, I just don't. I don't know. I don't hear the public outcry. You know, a few comments here and there hardly constitutes some demand for an accounting. And I'm thinking of, like, well, why hasn't there been a kind of community forum of sorts? You know, a movement that is grassroots, that's coming from the citizenry, that says, okay, folks, you work for us. We pay you to manage our money on behalf of the city and county, and we want to know what's going on. I mean, how is it that as people we don't think we have that authority, when in fact we do? I mean, so where is the organization that would foster that kind of accountability? It's been a couple of years, I think, since the newspaper was asked to host a public forum at which all of the city and county commissioners and city manager, I mean, all these people were there. I just thought, wow, when this hits the news back in the summertime, I thought, this is gonna really shake some people up. You know, there will be a lot of public meetings regarding this activity. Hadn't happened. I mean, I think we got more upset about Jimbo Fisher than we did, you know, Scott Maddox or whomever else may be on that list. I don't know. It's a weird town on that sort of stuff. You know, this, the things that we just sort of brush over and the stuff that we really get passionate about. Anyway, if you're passionate as I am about telling the story that is Tallahassee, well, then you get involved with things like Tallahassee Family Magazine and our radio station, Moose Magnificat. We do all this because we think Tallahassee's got a great story to tell. If you haven't done this, check it out. MooseMagnificat.com plays only local artists and mostly their original songs. You'll find a cover song in there occasionally, but most of it is coming from these folks who bring us their musical talent in their songwriting and in their performing abilities. Royce Lovett, Drew Tillman, and Jerry Thigpen, all these people that make Tallahassee sound what it is. Sarah Mack, Del Suggs. And Del was generous with us. We've been playing all of their Christmas music through the season. So anyway, MooseMagnificat.com, that's where you find it online, and you can listen at your leisure. You can download the app, so you've got it there on your phone and listen at any time, anywhere in the world. It's what we do, bringing you what is Tallahassee's sound, right along with our magazine, Tallahassee Family Magazine, telling Tallahassee's story in print and online. Be sure to check it out. It's available at various locations around the area, and you can find those online if you go to TallahasseeFamilyMagazine.com. Stay with me. I've got more.
Tallahassee Museum is celebrating their 60th anniversary with a special exhibit entitled 60 Years of Collecting, Preserving Our Region's Identity. Now through January 7th, this is your opportunity for a rare look at 60 special artifacts from the museum's extensive permanent collections. Each of the selected objects tell a unique story that help us link to our past from prehistory to the late 20th century. A centerpiece of the exhibition will be the museum's recently restored dress of Princess Catherine Murat, great-grandniece of George Washington and wife of Achille Murat, Prince of Naples and nephew of Napoleon Bonaparte. This will be the first time in almost 40 years that the dress has been on display to the public. Celebrate 60 years of presenting Tallahassee living history, 60 years of adventure and education, and 60 years of collecting some of the region's most treasured artifacts with your Tallahassee Museum. Now through January 7th, admission is included with your paid general admission.
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talks.
Commissioner Brian DeLoge is in the house after a lengthy absence from this here fine radio show, and it's a pleasure to have you back, sir.
Glad to be here. Glad to be in town.
You're looking well, considering all the travel and all of the meetings and conferences, and you were president of, weren't you like a president of a small South American country for a while, or something you were doing.
I did a tour as president of the State Association four or five years ago, but then most recently I just finished a tour of president of the National Association of Counties, which meant probably two-thirds of my time on the road banging around the country, and actually outside of the country a little bit representing local government counties.
We thought that it would help you gain perspective when it comes to the shenanigans of late. We look at city and county government locally, and I think a lot of people are just sort of shaking their heads going, come on, people, can we not get this together? Yeah. And I want to get into that with you a little bit. But seriously, you get out there, you're seeing this, let's say, from a national perspective and how counties particularly run them their business, right? Mm-hmm. When you look at Leon County and you look at the rest of what you've experienced, what did you learn from that?
So I rode in the other night on a flight with one of the deans from FSU, and what I tell people most of the time is Tallahassee is a great place to come home to. And frankly, we may not be perfect, but at least from a county perspective, we're heads and shoulders above the majority of our peers. And I can say that with the ability to say I've visited just about every county in the state of Florida, and I've visited every state in the country meeting with the county associations. And certainly there are some rock stars out there, but it's a tough time for local government across the country today, because you've got the federal government making decisions that trickle down. You've got the state government making decisions to trickle down. And you've got a population that basically doesn't have a real warm, fuzzy feel for elected officials today. And it's a tough place to be. I mean, we've got an unlimited amount of need and a pretty limited resource. But Leon County, to your question, is a great place. And I think, frankly, the staff we've got, this is one of the best boards I've ever worked with in my professional career. We're diverse. We don't agree with everything. We are civil with each other. And yet, I think at the county here, we're managing to move things forward. And I could tick off a number of accomplishments over the last 10 or 15 years. I think we're moving in a positive place.
Mary Ann Lindley was with us recently here, maybe two or three months ago. I've lost track.
Well, let me brag on Mary Ann for a minute. Let me tell you.
Please do.
I think she's one of the best commissioners I've served with in a while. She's thoughtful. She's cerebral. She comes prepared.
And is she your campaign chairman for the next? No, I'm sorry.
I've really enjoyed serving with her. She's a good friend, and I appreciate what she brings to the table.
Yeah, she is in that way a kind of, to me, she's a realist. I've never found her to be sort of, elevated beyond the average conversation. She's very bright, and she brings a lot of, I think, a lot of lucidity to what it can otherwise be very murky kinds of topics, particularly this business of paid leave, which the county then initiated. Tell us about that, because she was here to tell us then.
Oh, okay. So
how that all went down.
Last year during the budget process, you know, I'm the only elected Republican in town. Something along the lines of paid parental leave would generally not be something in my wheelhouse. But when we looked at it, I've been an employer, and I feel like you want to be the employer of choice. And we compete for employees with the school board and the city of Tallahassee and the state government. And so we want to make sure that we have, you know, pension benefits and pay just a tick better than everybody else. So nobody leaves. And in fact, we potentially have people want to come to us. And so when I did the math with the staff and said, what does paid parental leave mean for us financially? And it's a guesstimate type of thing, but it's a very small number in comparison to, I think, the impact you get. And so we teed it up. I'm the one who brought it up, actually, to the surprise of many people. And I want to...
Especially Mary.
Yeah, I want to preface this by saying I would not in any condition support forcing this down the throats of businesses in our community. It's a lead by example type of thing. And in my case, I look at it and say the county, and I'm writing checks with everybody's money, it makes us a better employer. We have one of the leanest, one of the most efficient, one of the best workforce groups in the state for county government. And I can tell you, because we measure, you know, how do we do against, how many employees do we have against the number of people we serve, and how many... how big of a budget do we have against the number of people we serve? And we measure ourselves against other counties around the state. And so what we find is we are perennially, annually, the third or fourth lowest out of 67 counties in the state of Florida.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm fine paying people a fair wage and giving them benefits and things that make them want to stay in our workforce.
Seems to me that fits. The way I read you is a sort of structuralist. You know, you're looking at how the form of government best serves not only the interests of the government per se, but the business of the government, which is to serve the residents of the county.
Right.
And right?
We can't be everything to everybody. You know, we're here to serve a certain number of functions and hopefully make Tallahassee a better place to live.
Well, in that capacity, you've been critical at times of how governments are structured, we'll say. And in that capacity, you've looked over across the way at the city's form of government. And a lot of us are asking those same kind of questions. Is there a better way for us to do the business of government for the purposes of city?
Yeah, I mean, I think that trying to be sensitive here, but I think that, you know, the definition of insanity, which is doing the thing same over and over again, expecting different results. If you look at the city, at least for the last 5 years or so, they seem to have been stumbling quite a bit. We've allowed, I think, between the last three mayors, for the mayor to become kind of their own version of a strong mayor without the horsepower to do it. We don't have, it's not structurally set up that way. So really, the mayor of Tallahassee should, in their structure today, is no more than the chairman of the county commission. And it's a ceremonial type of role, yet they morphed into, we can do all these other things.
Yeah. This was illustrated, I think, most prominently during Hurricane Hermine, and the mayor was out in various neighborhoods with his cell cam, you know, trying to connect with the people. But then you got in touch with people like Kevin Peters over at the county saying, well, see, or even Rob McGarrah at the city.
Yeah. So in this case, when a disaster is imminent and it's a declared, there's a couple of things. You've got to have a declared disaster. You've got to have civil unrest, right, or you've got to have, there's a couple of definitional things, yeah, before you can even activate the Emergency Operations Center. So the chairman of the county commission or the sheriff are the two, from my understanding, that who activate the Emergency Operations Center. The cities work hand in hand with us. And in this case, our city runs the electric utility, which is a critical piece of any kind of recovery effort.
Remarkable. Talking with County Commissioner Brian Deloge, you stay with me. I've got more.
My dog was in bad shape, and I was scared. I had never seen her so sick, and my mind was racing. What to do? Who to call? I mean, I raised her from a puppy. She's like my best friend. A few years ago, she developed diabetes, and I've been following her daily regimen carefully. But that morning, something just wasn't right. She could barely move, and I thought, I'm losing my dog. I called a friend, and he said, call Dr. Pliskin. So I called Mahan Animal Clinic. They put me through immediately, and Dr. Pliskin said to get her there right away. Turns out, her blood sugar had dropped dramatically, but he knew exactly what to do. I guess you know. There's no other place I would go knowing that Mahan Animal Clinic and Dr. Pliskin are there for me and Aerith.
Special people and special care for those you love. Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive near Costco. On the web at mahananimalclinic.com or call 402-0557.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back and talking about the Allen County government, city government, state of Florida, Brian Deloge, his travels about the world, what he's brought to the conversation of late in regard to how any form of government at a local level, at a state, maybe even federal level, best represent the people they purport to serve. And it seems to me that through 2017, I've said this repeatedly, so it's, I'm guilty of this sort of thing, because I entertain myself, right? So I've told people I'm canceling my Netflix subscription because the nightly news is much more entertaining. and there's no want for that here locally when I've got CRA investigations to look at and the FBI looking up somebody's hindquarters and trying to figure out who did what. And to date, I mean, while the newspaper has done a remarkable job of entertaining us with all of this, we don't really know any more than we did a year ago, it seems to me.
Yeah, everybody's waiting for the other shoe to drop. I think, you talk about different forms of government, federal, state, and local, and I had an opportunity to testify probably 2 months ago in the Capitol in front of Pelosi and Ryan on a task force on intergovernmental, efficiency and operations, and they're asking questions, and I represented counties from across the country. Mm. And the best is, let's face it, but if it's a city or a county at the local level or a school board or a state government or a federal government, we're all writing checks with your tax dollars, and it's not a win-lose proposition. Mm-hmm. We got to figure out how to work in a more of a peer-to-peer relationship, because the reality is, if we don't work on the issues together and collectively, it turns into a parental type of thing, which you see too often, mm-hmm, where somebody at the state says, well, those people locally are out of control, we're going to check them up. If we're out of control, vote us out of office. That's the whole point of an election process. But the bigger issue is here locally, I think, is things start to come a little bit apart when we don't have the kind of relationship where we can sit down collegially and talk about the issues in a fact-filled, civil way. We don't have to agree and move them all forward. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit hard right now with what's going on in some of the other governments.
Halsey Bashirs was here a couple months ago, and I asked him during that conversation what his opinion was, in particular in regard to the implications of his relationship with J.T. Burnett. And remarkably, he said, well, I'm unfamiliar with any of that. So I thought to myself, really? Yeah, okay. Well, Let me acquaint you with the facts. And this seemed to catch him by surprise. But he said, well, I want to go on the record right now, and I'm going to tell you that I've known J.T. Burnett since high school. He's a great guy. And, you know, I have no doubt that whatever he's done has been within, you know, the confines of. And okay. But meanwhile, there seem to be some other people who are questioning very strongly whether or not J.T. and all of his associates had anything to do with, you know, trying to move the needle.
I mean, and time will tell, and history will be the barometer. But what you're going to find is, in a town like Tallahassee, it's hard for people not to have some level of relationships, whether they're business or not. And unfortunately, like it or not, as elected officials, we're held to a higher standard. And we don't, the way things operate in the business world are not the way they operate with public funding.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes that's lost. I'm a recovering business guy, and I literally went to visit the head of the FBI and the U.S. attorney within the first year or two of getting elected and saying, I don't want to get in trouble. Explain to me, keep me in the loop. Listen, I'm an open book. A lot of things I'll do for this job. Going to jail is not one of them. You know, but the problem is the way you operate in the private sector doesn't translate, in this case, to how you operate in the public sector.
It appears that Mr. Fernandez is now officially off the payroll, and that was telltale in some respects, I think, for a lot of folks, that maybe there was the beginning of what might end up being even further departures in forthcoming.
Rick is a very capable city manager, and he stubbed his toe, and I think the way it was handled was probably not as good as it could have done. But frankly, I fault to some degree the city commission in this case. It's fish or cut bait. Listen, if you think this is a fireable offense, fire him. And if you think it's not, leave him and put him back in and check him up a little bit. This mamby-pamby kind of limbo land and pushing the responsibility off on somebody else is, frankly, in my opinion, a little bit of an abdication of responsibility and lack of leadership.
The business of consolidation has come up again. Mm-hmm. It's almost like tax reform. It's like every few years now we bring this back out. And this time the chamber has actually sort of led the charge on this, which, if I'm not mistaken, historically has not been one of their stronger admonitions.
Usually the business community is somehow behind it, and it's had, I don't know, half a dozen spins through this. You know, my feeling on this, nobody has proven – it seems so obvious and it seems so logical, but nobody has proven to me that there is an absolute efficiency to be gained or cost savings to be gained on the back end. I would argue and I would offer that the most appropriate way to approach this would be find somebody that does this for a living that could sit down, because there's a bunch of different moving parts between pay scales and IT and facilities and staffing and overlap of responsibilities. Have somebody that is in this world put a report together and say, here are the things that might or might not be a benefit, and then paint a picture for us. And then we, from an educated standpoint, as opposed to anecdotally saying, well, I think this area would certainly benefit. And in many cases, it might. But it's most of the time not real factual information. It's just a gut anecdotal type of thing.
Does it at all make sense to leave the, we'll call it the infrastructure, leave the county and city departments and what they do intact as they are, and they seem to cooperate rather well most of the time. Mm-hmm. Maybe they don't, but I am especially thinking of emergency management. I mean, I think they were given a lesson, and I think that the building of that whole complex over there on Easterwood was a great demonstration of a spirit of cooperation. But what about the ruling body that is actually a composition? I mean, you got people doing that anyway in various capacities.
You mean, how do you govern? So that'd be one of the questions, which is clearly you can't take a county commission of 7 and a city commission of 5 and just say, well, we're just going to have 12. That's irresponsible. Right. So somebody is going to be out the door, and that oftentimes, unfortunately, is what people look at that and say, ooh, I'm not sure I want to go down this path because I end up losing a job potentially. Well, you got to get past all this and look 5 years, 10 years, 15 years down the road and say, would we be a better community, and what would be the most appropriate governing body? And frankly, having like a strong mayor type of governing body in a community like ours, ultimately, you know, Duval has consolidated to Jacksonville, City of Jacksonville, and they're right at the 50-year mark, and there's a report out on how they've done. There have been some other communities around the country, but it's a bigger lift than people realize, and it's a long-term play because short-term it's going to be more expensive, and it's going to be very disruptive.
It's well beyond the business of simply merging properties.
Right.
I wonder too, as you look forward, you know, 2018 is here in front of us. And by the way, Happy New Year.
Thanks, you too.
Yeah. And I know that you were toasting on my behalf.
Yeah, absolutely.
At midnight. Thank you. The fact is, we're seeing around town in this climate of shuffling the deck, I'll call it. There's just a lot of consideration going on these kinds of topics. Who's in charge, and are those the people we really want to have in charge? And are there people who are operating at a level that is unethical or in some capacity have been guilty of some unethical practices? Meanwhile, you talk about the business community. Tamarin Waters hoisted this report the other day in the newspaper, and I think we counted 10, maybe 12 or more projects that are either underway or about to break ground. Now, I don't know, I'm not a very bright guy, but that says to me that this region, whether you want to call it city, county, North Florida, is poised for some remarkable growth economically that are going to, and that economic growth is going to then translate into a bigger tax base, right? Folks, we're talking with Brian DeLoge, our good friend and a friend of many, county commissioner for many years, and a Tallahassean at heart, no doubt. You stay with me, I've got more.
In 1788, Robert Burns wrote a poem to herald the coming of the new year and set the lyrics to an old Scottish tune. The little song became quite popular among the Scots and the British as the words recalled the days gone by, bidding farewell to the old and welcoming the new. Bandleader Guy Lombardo is often credited with popularizing the use of the song at New Year's celebrations in America. Through his annual broadcasts on radio and television, beginning in 1929, the song became his trademark. This New Year's Eve, millions will gather across the world in celebration and at the stroke of midnight join together in singing Auld Lang Syne. Here's wishing you all the best and brightest in the new year from Tiffany Hamilton, broker of Eck and Hamilton Realty. Call 850-366-8433 or online at tiffanyhamilton.com, and Witt & Glass on South Monroe. Call 222-5781, online at wittandglass.com, and Dr. Scott Pliskin at Mahan Animal Clinic. Call 402-0557.
Hi, I'm Jerry.
And I'm Pete.
And we're with the Jerry Thigpen Trio, and you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back. We're talking with Commissioner Brian DeLoge, District 4. Is that right?
That's me, Northeast.
You've been there forever.
I wouldn't say forever.
You were there, and they built District 4 around you.
I got elected in 06, so I've been there 11 years.
You were like, what, 16? 17? You were just a kid.
I'll take that.
Yeah. Not a kid anymore, and you've had your share of ups and downs and, you know, squabbles now and then with various members of the community or with your own body of distinguished ladies and gentlemen. Where do we need to go?
I mean, Tallahassee and North Florida in particular has so much to offer. Mm. My feeling would be one of the places we could do a better job is the city, the county, the schools, the state government. We need to be working a little bit more in tandem and a little less adversarial. We ought to be able to have a regular kind of roundtable with leadership at, you know, TMH and Capital Regional and FSU and FAMU and TCC and the city and the county and the schools, and talk about where are the issues and what's working and what's not working. And we do versions of that around the legislature. I know we do kind of a legislative dialogue that we try and basically make sure we're all talking out of the same sheet of music, but we don't coordinate as often and as well as I think we could.
Where do you see Tallahassee in 5 years?
If we keep some of the current leadership, there's going to be some changes. Let me start with that. Clearly, you've got a bunch of, in the city side, you've got a bunch of elected and appointed positions that are going to change. I think we're heading in a pretty positive place for a lot, like the reasons I pointed out. I think the state is poised for great things because I think our governor's done a nice job with the jobs and the economy. I think we have got all the backdrop. I mean, we've got the trails, the rivers, the culture. I mean, we've got a great place that's kind of an unfound, undiscovered gem, in my opinion. You know, and I travel quite a bit, and there are certainly places I like to go to, but Tallahassee's where I want to come home to.
Yeah.
So,
when you think of those ways in which we struggle, if we are struggling to listen across the aisle, whatever that aisle may be, whether it's economic or political or social, you know, we still have sort of lurking in the shadows this notion that the region is deeply divided racially, economically, that we're the most segregated in the country, as an MSA, you know, courtesy of Richard Florida and his team. We are the most income entrenched. If your parents were born in Leon County, if you were born in Leon County, the chances of you ever making more money than they're making are the lowest in the country. Harvard Business Review about 3 years ago. So with that in mind, one of the concerns that I hear a lot, and Village Square has this meeting coming up at the Moon next week, or this coming week, about progress, race relations particularly. Am I missing something here?
I tell you, Village Square is spot on to be getting in the middle of this because, frankly, if you don't have those discussions, you're going to let yourself run off a cliff. And I got a phone call 2 or 3 years ago, whenever the Baltimore riots were, from one of the city councilwomen, friend of mine in Baltimore. And she said, "Hey, Brian, you've been talking about Village Square on the national level for the last 4 or 5 years. We need Village Square up here." And I said, "Helen, you know, you just had riots in your city. And yeah, I think it's a little late." Uh-huh. And so we're clearly getting way out in front of that.
Ahead of the game.
And the whole goal of Village Square, to some degree, is let's have those hard conversations and let's figure out what it is that we can do to improve. I don't know the answer. I wish people didn't think so divisively. I think there are a small sector of vocal minority in our community that like to throw stones, and they don't offer many solutions. They just, you know, they run around like their hair's on fire and say that the sky is falling. Yeah. And I think you got to stop for a minute and say, all right, is it really fall? I mean, how are we doing as a community?
Yeah.
And
you know, one of the glaring examples for me is the whole center of Tallahassee development.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here's a guy, Mr. Baker, who comes to town. And, you know, that whole question had been tossed around for better than a decade, maybe 20 years. What do we do with, you know, the Tallahassee Mall?
Right.
And all of these ideas were, and he stepped up and said, "Well, I know what to do." And he got serious because he was putting his own money mm-hmm. into that operation. And it makes my head hurt to think how much money is involved in that. When you go out there and look at the pavilion alone, it just takes your breath away.
Yeah.
And the man passed away. And, you know, the fellow that's running the pavilion out there, Jesse, we talked that week, he and I, and he's been on the show a couple times. And he said, "Brian," he said, "if you go over to Birmingham right now," he said, "all of the air has been let out of the balloon. It's just that way." Because this guy was so formidable, such a driver, such an inspiration. He said, "This is a guy who grew up in poverty, who knew everybody in his company by first name and knew their kids." He's just that kind of guy, hands-on to the max. But he said his vision for this was really being funded out of his own pocket, and then he had some equity partners out of, I think, Philadelphia. And they wanted to get out at that point. The thing that I found rather remarkable to me, and I don't know, this is me, but I couldn't quite figure out why we didn't see more of that being celebrated among, whether it was the chamber, city, county, whatever organizations could step up and say, "Wow, this is fantastic. This is a guy who wanted to put Christmas music on that pavilion his first year. And the city told him he couldn't do it because he'd be in violation of a noise ordinance." And he said, "Well, show me the ordinance." "Well, we haven't found it, but we know it's there." Yeah. I mean, this was the tenor of the conversation.
We need to do a better job
kidding
of
me.
Embracing some of the private sector not changing the rules, not letting them get away with something they shouldn't. But the reality is, we need to be more in a partnership relationship. And
yeah,
I mean, I look
at, and it goes back to what you say about cooperation. Mm-hmm. When you look at those groups who have moneyed, we'll call them vested interests in the properties that are already here. Well, maybe there's just not a whole lot of motivation for them to step up and say, hey, we want to help promote what you're doing out there.
We should be in the customer service business. I think our administrator, Vince Long, when he came in, he said, listen, we're no longer going to be the government of no. The first question, the first response to any request should not be no. Yeah. It should be, well, yeah, you can get there. Here are the things you need to do to get there. But we need to be working in a little bit more customer-friendly kind of too, because the other part of it is, although we can be the catalyst and we can help promote and we can help be as positive about a project as we can, we're not their bank. And so people come to us periodically and say, why would you ever let them do that? It's not going to work. And I say, I'm not their banker and I'm not taking that risk.
No, but why get in their way? And
I agree.
And why not at least be the cheerleader saying,
absolutely,
go get them?
Mm-hmm.
You know, why wasn't Alex Baker brought to, you know, some early morning breakfast meeting in front of hundreds of business owners to say, this guy. Yeah. He's got vision here, mm-hmm. right? See, that it makes me ask questions, mm-hmm. and that's, of course, what gets me in trouble, but that's what I do. All right, folks. Well, Brian Deloge, who has questions and answers, and they are formidable, in fact, and we're glad that he's been with us. Brian, thank you.
Thanks so much. Great to be here.
For all you do for us.
Love Tallahassee.
Yeah.
I'm happy to be here.
Yeah. Folks, that's what I've got for you here this morning. Glad that you've been a part of it. We are the production of Alcom Media and Entertainment, coming to you from the studios of Moose Magnificat in Tallahassee. You'll find us at moosemagnificat.com. Carl Cerny is our executive producer. I'll be looking for you again next week. So come on, Tallahassee. Come talk to me.
So if you come to me and say, I want to buy a home, the first thing I do is say, okay, let's talk about the process. What can I afford? Not just the purchase price. What kind of lifestyle do you want to have?
Tiffany Hamilton, broker of Eck and Hamilton Realty, talking about the real estate market in Tallahassee.
Right now, for an investor, in my opinion, we should be looking at affordable housing. What that means is a price point of about $100,000 to $200,000 price range. For the investor, it's a rental income between $1,000 and $1,500 a month max.
Realtor, broker, consultant Tiffany Hamilton is helping home buyers, investors, and other realtors achieve their individual goals.
Hi, I'm Tiffany Hamilton. Investing in real estate or buying a home has never been more challenging. Even finding solid information you can trust can also be a challenge. That's exactly why I began my career nearly 15 years ago, to help buyers and sellers overcome those challenges. As a broker, as a realtor, or a consultant, if I can help you achieve your goals, it would be my pleasure.
Call 850-366-8433 or online at TiffanyHamilton.com.